When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football, full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, book five, book it to the end zone, touchdown,
launches down the middle for McCleskey, and it's three, Jason McCleskey, touchdown,
touchdown,
they take the lead with 3 seconds left.
Patterson to the end zone, drives his way in, Virginia Tech has won it.
Here we go, college football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM channel 204. As always, we bring in our man Joe Lisi. Go for the two. Joe, we got a lot of headlines today, actually, to start the show. Later on, we will get into more ACC win totals. Today, we're going to go through Miami, Duke, and North Carolina. We'll try to get to some more look-ahead lines for weeks 3 and 4. But, Joe, we're stacked here. Ohio State with the group licensing. Florida State and Clemson denying SEC rumors. The Texas State Senate had to have their say on the Big 12 realignment. But I start today, Joe, with Miles Brennan and his injury for LSU. How are you today, my man?
Oh, I'm amped up, Carver. This is it. Every day you're going to hear the intensity in my voice just get a little more intense and higher because we're inching closer to the start of August 28th when we kick it off for week 0. This is what it's all about. But a team that I was high on, right? LSU. We talked about the quarterback situation between Miles Brennan and Max Johnson. Now it's Max Johnson, baby. I couldn't be happier. I think he's the quarterback of the future. He's the quarterback that led this team in the swamp. He's the quarterback that had the wide receiver quarterback relationship with Kayshon Boutte, and he's the quarterback to lead the LSU Tigers to the 2021 SEC title. Yes, wow. Go Tigers.
Listen to Lisi here.
I'm amped up.
The kid gets hurt, and Lisi's got him winning the conference now. Unbelievable.
That's what they needed.
Well, listen, I'll put it to you this way, Joe, and I agree with you. Listen, I feel bad for the kid. Obviously, getting an injury, you know, arm injury, breaking his arm, it's going to require surgery. He's going to be out. It's done for him, it looks like, this year. That sucks, Joe. Like, that part of it isn't good. You want to see these guys compete. You want to see the best guy win the job. On the other side of the coin, though, Joe, I'll say this.
Ed Orgeron's life got a lot easier. Or shall I say his training camp and the beginning of his regular season got a lot easier? Because we talked about this a few weeks ago. Where was this heading for LSU? A lot of quarterback controversy, a lot of splitting time, a lot of Ed Orgeron answering questions about who his quarterback is going to be. Now, Joe, he does not have to do that. He could completely focus on Max Johnson being the starter throughout camp, week one. He doesn't have to worry about being down 10 at the half and having to swap quarterbacks or getting questions about that. He knows who his guy is, and sometimes, Joe, that's the best thing you can have.
All those star players just went, all right, that's what we needed. You know, you hate to say that, right? But they could not go through the start of the season with a two-quarterback system. Just not going to work out. And when you just look at what Max Johnson did in those games, let's not forget, we just remember the game against Florida, right? What about the game against Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, where Kayshon Boutte basically had 300 receiving yards that came down to basically a four-quarter game? Max Johnson was dealing in that game. He's just a cool-headed quarterback. He's cool hand Luke, as you say, right? He's back there. He could survey the field. He doesn't get phased whether you're in front of 100,000. He gives the LSU Tigers the best shot to knock off Bryce Young and the Alabama Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. I know they got blown out at home last year. I think it's going to be a different effort on the road. I think you jump on LSU right now, catch the double-digit points if they're getting it. I think they're going to strike the upset. I think this is going to be the surprise team in the SEC this year. And Ed Orgeron, like you said, he just breathes a sigh of relief because the LSU Tigers now, in my opinion, will be hitting on all cylinders.
Let me ask you this, because just 2 years ago, they had a quarterback come out of nowhere to win the Heisman Trophy, as we know, in Joe Burrow. I went and looked this morning. Where do we have Max Johnson, who I actually didn't see on the board a couple of weeks ago, Joe? And if I did in a couple spots, it was a lot deeper than he is right now, up to 100-1.
That's not bad.
Places. And
that is not bad.
And considering that you know he's going to be out there all the time, and that he's playing for LSU, et cetera, et cetera. If you like to take a couple of shots, Joe, in the Heisman market with a few guys in the triple digits of 100-1 or more, there's no better than a guy who's going to play quarterback for LSU every single week. Now you know that
exactly
he's going to do that.
Exactly, Carver. And to your point, we always say that the Heisman Trophy winner needs to be in the national championship hunt. They just need to be. Outside of Lamar Jackson that won it a few years ago, you look at Kyler Murray, you look at Baker Mayfield, you look last year, Devontae Smith, I mean, Joe Burrow 2 years ago, the list goes on and on. You need to be at least challenging for a college football playoff appearance.
So you're putting a couple down on Max for 100?
Yeah, I am. Can I get your
commitment now?
I will put at least 100 on Max Johnson.
Whoa.
And at least 100. No, I'm not kidding. And De'Ara King. Those are my two front runners. Last year I was on Trask and Ian Book. I'm on King and Johnson now.
Yeah, Trask at least gave you a little ride for a good portion of last year, Joe. There was a chance he was in the mix there. All right, college football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We are just getting going. We've got a lot more to do. ACC win totals, more news right after this. College football full
circle. Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thank you. You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
All right, and we're back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, so we covered Miles Brennan being out for LSU, Max Johnson now in the mix. A couple other things from the last day or so that's been going on. A lot of college football news. Did you catch any of the quotes from the Texas State Senate hearing against, you know, they had all the realignment hearing in Texas State, of course, with Texas leaving to go to the SEC. Bob Bowlesby spoke. You had a bunch of senators in there asking questions to the Texas president. It was really just like a dog and pony show, Joe. Like, there wasn't anything concrete or significant that came out of it. Bowlesby said that Texas and Oklahoma sought to deceive and undermine the other league members. Says if intent had not been leaked, the two schools would have had access to big information in the Big 12. You know, this is all back and forth stuff. Anything of interest to you there from that yesterday?
Yes, there was one key note that I took note of. Somebody mentioned, I'm not sure who it was, but they're like, it's not like, you know, Vanderbilt is leaving the SEC, right? So I have a buddy that's been on our show, Jake Wimberly out of ESPN Radio in Mississippi. He's like, look at Texas. They come in and they're picking on the smallest guy in the bar in Vanderbilt. I mean, are we forcing Vanderbilt just out the door now? Like, it's just a matter of time. Vanderbilt has no shot to be in the SEC within the next couple of years. That's really what it's coming down to. Like, we're going to push Vanderbilt out. We might get out. Who else? Ole Miss? Not Ole Miss. They like Lane Kiffin. Miss State. But, I mean, those other teams, South Carolina, they're on the cusp, even though those rivalries with Georgia. I mean, think about that. Those teams that really aren't up to par, like with the likes of Oklahoma and Texas, really now are on life support. Maybe not South Carolina, but Missouri, I think they're on life support as well. What does Missouri have in terms of that conference tie-in with those teams in the South? They deserve to be in the Big 12 again.
Right. I mean, they did just get in there. I doubt that they're going to be. I don't know. I think you're right. Eventually, they'll try to move some teams out. I think that's going to be very, very tough to do. I'll give you a couple more of the good roasts. There were some pretty good roasts yesterday from some of these senators. Let me give you Lois Kolkhorst, Texas State Senator Lois Kolkhorst, asked Jay Hartzell, of course, the Texas president, what the athletic budget is. He said it's $220 million. That's without a winning football team. And he goes, we've been winning, just not the way we like to. The response, you're 3-7 against the Horned Frogs. Maybe your fan base would rather lose to Alabama than TCU. I mean, Joe, it was basically like they just put him up there yesterday to take wax at him on the way out the door, because he's definitely leaving. I mean, Texas is gone. It is what it is. One more. There's a couple of really solid ones here. Who else got on him? I'll try to find you one more good quote here, Joe. I had them all. Oh, here you go. Charles Perry to him. If you're as big and great as you think you are, you should have made the Big 12 equal or better than the SEC. You didn't do it. They really went after this guy.
They're whacking him early. I like it, though. I mean, that's what happens, right? You know, they have one foot out the door, and they're taking their pot shots because they have nothing else, right? They're not even going to have a conference. We still don't know the repercussions of how this is going to play out for the Big 12 overall. Where are they going to be in the next year? Is there ever going to be another Big 12? Do they try and solidify, or do all the teams go to the AAC? That's the biggest question that we have to address, right? And we're nowhere near that answer or result right here in the month of August. We're going to find this out maybe 2022 and beyond, because the legalities that'll play out probably, I mean, I know they backed off on that, but there's going to be specific programs that feel they're not getting a big enough piece in terms of the revenue and the residual income, and everybody's going to be up in arms for the next 3 to 4 months about it.
Florida State and Clemson, there was a rumor flying around yesterday that they had reached out to the SEC. Both schools, of course, Joe, have denied that. Florida State made statements themselves saying this is not happening. Clemson kind of did it through the media with ESPN saying that it's not true. So Florida State and Clemson deny the rumor that they have spoken to the SEC. And then you have this Ohio State thing. New licensing program will allow student athletes to profit off Ohio State University trademarks. Jersey right. sales, other opportunities could be facilitated for student athletes through group license agreements. This kind of ties in, Joe, to what we talked about yesterday right. with the kid Ewers, who's now going to not do his senior year of high school. He's going to go to Ohio State, and now he could take part in this stuff too.
Yeah, it's a marketing tool and a recruiting tool, right? The more ways you have to earn money for your student athletes, you're going to have recruits come in and want to play for your program. It's just the bottom line. Money drives the bus. We said it yesterday. If high school kids are leaving school early to attain the money that they feel they deserve, that's what the schools are going to entice them with, right? They're going to entice them in how can we lure this five-star athlete to our program over Michigan, over Penn State, right? Over the teams that we're challenging and recruiting against. And the team that is more proactive, like the Ohio State Buckeyes, they're going to get those recruits a lot sooner than some of the other schools.
And this isn't just football, Joe. This is all 36 sports that they have at the university. So you talk about getting ahead of the curve. If you're a high school junior, you know, or even a senior right now, maybe hasn't made up their mind like yours, Joe, you look at something like this and you go, wow, I mean, these guys seem to be really ahead of the game when it comes to actually putting a couple dollars in my pocket. Right. This is a smart move by Ohio State because eventually, Joe, everybody's got to do it. I know that different states are trying to make the laws with NIL bills and all things like that. Ohio State's just like, nah, we're doing this. We're going to get all these kids paid. Everybody's going to want to come here. It's smart. It just is.
You know who I feel bad for, Carver? Is I feel bad for the coaches. Let's say the Minnesota lacrosse coach or the Minnesota yeah. soccer coach, right? Because you know they're going to lose, those coaches are going to lose recruits, let's say, to the Ohio State Buckeyes, maybe not because of the soccer program or the other programs that they're in their respective sports, but because of the football program and because of what the school implemented in terms of the NIL deals to actually lure those recruits, right? If it's an equal ground between, let's just say, let's take soccer, right? And I don't know soccer, obviously, anywhere near like college football, but if we're just taking two sports, soccer for Minnesota and Ohio State respectively, if they're both on equal grounds, but then you have the potential, because of an NIL deal, to earn more at Ohio State than you do, let's say, Minnesota. Guess where that athlete's going to go more times than not? So those coaches that are up against it outside going up against Ryan Day in football, those lower-tier coaches are really going to have their work cut out for them.
Especially when you start to talk about something, Joe, so simple as, like, jersey sales.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, that's like the starting point. Like, people, you know, you're a good player on the team. People want to get your jersey. In the past, we know there was never any names on NCAA jerseys. It was all a farce. Now, you can actually print jerseys with their names on it, like you can at Ohio State, and the kids are going to make some money off it. And right. it's just small things like that. It's even that, you know, forget the huge, enormous stuff like Ewers is going to have in these guys. Just being able to sell it, get a couple bucks from your jersey being sold is going to make a difference.
Exactly. And let's go to that five-star athlete in, let's say, soccer. Same thing, right? If you know your yeah. jersey is going to be sold at Ohio State, you could collect on that. Where do yeah. you think you're going to go?
No, you're 100% right, Joe. It's so true. So there you go, Ohio State leading the charge in NIL, getting the kids paid, and it's just going to the world of collegiate sports going to continue to evolve. But remember, Joe, academics always come first.
Yes, academics first, Carver.
Always come first when it comes to college athletics. It's what you do in the classroom is more important. All right, Joe. When we come back, we have our today's ACC win totals. Yesterday we gave you a few teams. Today we will go to Miami, Duke, and North Carolina. We'll get that cooking right here. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 2.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
04. We keep rolling right after the...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi right here, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, let's hit these ACC win totals. Yesterday, we got you going with Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Boston College. Today, Joe, let's head south to the U, baby. We start at the U, the Canes. Cane Day, baby. Let's go, Joe. Cane Day.
Let's
now,
do it.
As I was looking for the numbers for the Canes, most books, Joe, have Miami at 9 flat. Most okay. books. Now, I saw Wynn has them over 9 at minus 125, under 9 at plus 115. I saw that DK's got them at 9 flat, over minus 115, under minus 105. But one place, Joe, does have a 9.5 hanging out there, and that would be FanDuel. They have them yes. over 9.5 at plus 125, under 9.5 at minus 145. So, Joe, let's dive into the Miami schedule here. How many games do you think, just off the top of your head, which is how I like to do these, if you're going to bet these win totals, take out the team schedule, and just without even having to think about it, are there games that you can look at and go, they're going to win that game? And for yes. me, Joe, right now, I think that they've got, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think 5. I think there's 5 games where with Miami I could say they're going to win that game.
Well, put it this way. This is my team, one of my sleeper teams. You know that. I've been high on De'Ara King, yes. and I know the week one game against Alabama. But outside that game against Alabama, the only other game, in my opinion, that they'll be challenged in is the road game against Sam Howell in North Carolina. And now we know about the deficiencies about North Carolina that we'll get into, I'm assuming, in next segment, right? So that aside, that's still a 10-win football team. And we talked about their ability to play that game close against Alabama. They don't have to win. I mean, it would be great if they pulled a victory out. But if they cover that line, 17.5, that goes a huge way, in my opinion, to the public perception of this team. Let's not forget, they had one loss after they knocked off Virginia Tech. They were right there. They were potentially, at the end of the year, a cusp type of playoff team if everything fell their way. They gave up 554 rushing yards to North Carolina, Michael Carter, and Javonte Williams. That aside, that's what kicked them out, right? They lost two of the last three to end the season, right? They lost the North Carolina game, and right. they lost the game against Oklahoma State when De'Ara King got hurt. But outside of that, they had one loss. You know, so this is a lethal team for that matter. Now, you have to look. De'Ara King, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the college game today. I think he steps up. He's a Heisman Trophy dark horse. I like him. Manny Diaz says best defense he's coached. I believe him. Now they have to prove it. But outside of that, let's go back to the days, Carver, of Michael Barrow and Jesse Armstead with the U. All right, let's get it done. This is my sleeper team in the ACC.
Now, let's take this reasonably, Joe. They're not going to beat Alabama. Okay? So if you're they're not beating Alabama. So let's okay. just let's be serious about it. They're not going to beat Alabama.
I think they can cover against Alabama.
Okay, but
I will
we're not
say
but,
this.
But we're not in you're right. Maybe they can, but for this particular bet, win totals, covering doesn't matter. They need
Correct.
To win or lose the game and they're not beating Alabama.
I'm okay, gonna, so they start out 0-1.
So now you have a, but here's where this bet is tricky, whether it's 9 or 9.5. So you've already got one game, your first game out of the gate, where we're pretty confident they're not going to win the game. There's 11 games left on the schedule, and to win a 9.5 bet, They got to go 10-1. They got to go 10-1 to win that bet.
But I feel confident about that. I really do, because we look at the quarterbacks in the ACC. They don't play Clemson in the regular season. Outside the Sam Howell matchup, they're going to have the quarterback advantage in every single game. And the way De'Ara King actually progressed last year under Rhett Lashley, right, in six of the 12 games last year, he threw for over 300 yards. They were 5-1 in those games, and they won those games by 22 points per game. I think they can outscore teams. The defense doesn't need to be elite. De'Ara King is the key to the whole season, though. He really is.
I get what you're saying, and if you take out Alabama and North Carolina, because that is a tough game going to North Carolina, and they got absolutely steamrolled on the ground by North Carolina last year, as you allude to all the time. That's your 10 games. You got to go 10-0, and I think they can. It's not impossible for them to go 10-0, but I don't know if I trust Miami as much as you do to run the table. Like, could I see them go to Pitt, an awful weather game in late October in Pitt and lose that game? I can, Joe. You know, I could see them losing.
Well, they've done it before, right? We know that. They've done it before. But I think that the difference is that De'Ara King is the leader of that offense. He came back for one reason and one reason only, in my opinion. Yes, to possibly win a national championship, but to also be a first-round draft pick in the NFL. He is that Russell Wilson type of player. He was one of the most dynamic dual threats coming out of Houston a couple years ago. That situation did not pan out when they allowed players to transfer and redshirt four games. Remember, a couple of years ago, he chose to do that and move to Miami. And he could have still been a quarterback that would have been drafted last year. When you look at some of the quarterbacks that did get taken in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds, are you kidding me? De'Ara King could have been there with or without a healthy ACL. So he came back for one sole purpose, and I think he steps up. He has a lot to prove, and in order for him to do that, he needs to have an explosive season.
So what are you playing here? Would you play the over 9.5, Joe?
If you're giving me 9.5 and nine, I'm definitely taking the over nine.
You're getting a little bit. You're clearly getting a little bit more bang for the buck at FanDuel if you go the plus 125 and you add the half on, but then you lose the push. Of course, if they finish 9-3, you're gonna be kicking yourself. For me, Joe, I'm not playing this over, and I'm not playing it under either for the nines. The 9.5 you could maybe talk me into at minus 145. I don't trust Miami enough to go 10-2 this year. I don't, because I think that they will lose one of those games. Whether it's the game at Pitt or NC State at home, I just feel. And here's the other thing we have to factor in, Joe. Does De'Ara King stay healthy the whole season?
Well, obviously. As a lot of quarterbacks.
He's gone down in the past. So that's why I have to. This is not an overplay for me. It's probably a stay away, Joe, but you like the over. But you prefer the 9 than the 9.5.
Yes, I mean, I feel confident they could be a 10-win team, and FanDuel enticing me with the plus 125. I'll take the 9. I might throw a little on the 9.5 as well. They are clearly, in my opinion, the sleeper. And I know that, you know, Miami, how could they be a sleeper? But when we think of Miami, we think of just a middle-of-the-road team. We don't think of a potential dark horse in terms of the college football playoff, and that's what I'm banking on here.
No, you're absolutely right. Let's go to Duke now, Joe. Of course, the Duke Blue Devils, not one of the best teams in the ACC, as we know. I've seen a win total of 3.5 in a bunch of spots. I know that FanDuel has them at 3.5. I was just going to take a look and see. I had up what they were at win. 3.5 also at win. Plus money to the under. Plus 115 for under 3.5. Minus 135 for over 3.5 for the Duke Blue Devils. And here's where, once again, Joe, I look at this. They've got two that they should win out of the gate. They got two at Charlotte and North Carolina A&T. Those are their first two games. I know Duke hasn't been good, Joe, but can we go 2-0 in their first two games?
They can. I mean, Charlotte's definitely a winnable game. Not going to be easy. Charlotte does like to run the football. That's the problem in terms of that is that, you know, Duke broke down at the end of the year. When you look at their stats, go back to the second half of the season. They basically allowed in like four straight games almost 1,300 rushing yards. They allowed over 300 to like three consecutive teams. I mean, you cannot allow that to happen in the ACC. Now, from a quarterback advantage, they don't have it in any game outside those two. So when
about
we
the
break
Kansas
it down,
game? They play Kansas too. They play Kansas at home.
Leipold going up against
now remember, we're going to be rooting for Kansas that day, Joe, because we're going to be taking that Kansas UConn ULM game. So we need Kansas that day in Durham. We need them to beat the Blue Devils that day. But let's look at this from the perspective of betting this Duke number. If we weren't in on that bet, we would be thinking that that's a winnable game for them, Kansas at home.
Yes, without a doubt. It is a winnable game. But do you believe in Gunnar Holmberg as the starting quarterback?
Gunnar?
I mean, Chase Bryce, Gunnar, right. Do you? I mean, I don't know if I buy into this team. I think that they're going the other way under David Cutcliffe. Great head coach, coaches up the quarterbacks, but couldn't do it last year with Chase Bryce that transferred from Clemson. He was supposed to be the savior of that offense, right? That graduate type of transfer. He couldn't evolve in that type of scheme. So is Cutcliffe going the other way? Defense broke down. I mean, they have some playmakers. Jalen Calhoun, the wide receiver, is legit, but they lose Noah Gray, their tight end. Do you believe in the defense? I mean, they were built in terms of the front seven, Carver. They lose two starters on that defensive line to the NFL.
I got to tell you, Joe, I think that the 3.5 is an underplay. I just looked, and DraftKings has them at 4.
So let's sell
and
that.
Under 4 at minus 120.
I like that.
So now you're giving me, if they actually got to the 4 win, you know, you could push it. I mean, I think there's 3 wins tops here, Joe. I really do.
That's it.
I think you'll sweat the 3.5, but I think the 4, if they're going to give you 4 at DK, that could be a better way to play this, Joe.
Without a doubt, because I'm looking at their schedule now. Virginia, Wake Forest, they don't have the quarterback advantage in any of those games, Carver.
Wow, I think that 4 makes a difference. Seeing a house that has it at 4 right there. All right, college football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We'll go to North Carolina next and some look-ahead lines. College football full circle keeps rolling.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, let's go to the North Carolina Tar Heels next for our ACC win totals today. Now, they are consistent 9.5 everywhere, Joe. Everywhere I see 9.5. I see over 9.5 minus 125 at FanDuel with the under 9.5 at plus 105. I see pretty much the same number everywhere. DK over 9.5 minus 120. WinBet has them over 9.5 minus 115. So I don't think you're going to get much difference in the number for the North Carolina Tar Heels, Joe. Looking at their schedule, they're going to be one of the best teams in that division. We know that. But when I look at it and just go guaranteed, like feel 100% confident wins, I actually only get 4. But there are just no doubt about it. Like, I don't have to think about it out of the gate. Like, there's other games where, like, look, I mean, I think they're going to win the game, but do I feel 100% confident? No. I mean, they're going to beat Georgia State. They're going to beat Wofford. They're going to beat Wake Forest at home. They're going to beat Duke at home.
So now, there's do 4.
I, Now, do I think they're going to beat Florida State at home? Yes, I do. So there's a five. Do
lost
I think
to them last year, though.
I know that. Yeah, 31-28.
Right.
But that's a revenge factor now. Going to Chapel Hill, off the loss, Hal loses to them, and that ruined their season, Joe. That loss in Tallahassee ruined the season for North Carolina. That might be the game. If we get a look-ahead line for Florida State UNC, Joe, we hammer the Tar Heels. That is a big that's a big rebound game for them.
We talked about Florida State in terms of their road record over the last couple of years, 1-9 straight up. Just think about that. So that was the most complete game Florida State's played over the last 3 years. I mean, let's be honest. Under Willie Taggart, under Mike Norvell, they are pathetic. You know, how are they going to look? We'll see. I mean, here's the thing. When I look at their schedule right now, Virginia Tech, we talked about yesterday.
We think they're going to win that game.
Deer in the headlights last year. Virginia's tough. That's the game, you know, you say, it's Virginia. Virginia beat North Carolina last year 44-41. Bronco Mendenhall has a very disciplined defense. They don't fear Sam Howell. They believe they can play with them. The question for North Carolina is twofold. Offensively is, they lose their top four wide receivers. Now, they do have some playmakers. Dyami Brown moves on, but they do have his brother that's in the lineup. You know, he played somewhat last year. They have some other complementary wide receivers that can develop. The running back, Ty Chandler, takes over for Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. So you're going to get production. Do you have the type of depth that you had last year? Absolutely not. But five starters back on the offensive line, Carver. So they're going to protect Sam Howell, right? So that's the offensive concerns. Defensively, can that defense be elite? Can they be elite? That's going to be the question, because I still have concerns about this front seven. And Jay Bateman's done a fantastic job with them. It's just a matter of, can they take the next step? I don't know if they can. I mean, the biggest concern for me is that they were weak in run support last year. They gave up 154 per game. And let's look at the schedule. Virginia's tough. Miami's tough. Notre Dame, at Notre Dame, they lost by 14 last year. That defense, they jumped out. How about it was 14-14, right? Yeah. That game in Chapel Hill, Sam Howell had a dynamic first half, completely shut down in the second half of that matchup. And more importantly, the running game was shut down for North Carolina. So if Notre Dame can make them one-dimensional again at home, they're not going to win that game in terms of my opinion, North Carolina on the road. So that's a very difficult game. At Pitt, yeah, and then the rivalry game with Devin Leary and NC State, even though they've owned them in years.
I listen, there's three games on the schedule here, Joe, that hinge for me if they're going to get this over 9.5 or not. I actually do. Look, barring them tripping up somewhere, and like you said, they lost to Virginia last year. See, the games that they lost last year, Joe, they're getting those return games at home this year. And I think that's going to make a difference. The Virginia game, the Florida State game, that's going to make a difference for North Carolina.
See, Virginia's a huge rivalry with them. You know, it's one of the most underrated rivalries. And Virginia has some playmakers. Brennan Armstrong, they have Keaton Thompson. So just think about Virginia's offense put up 44 on that defense last year.
Here's what they got to do to get this over 9.5. They got to win two out of these four games. At Virginia Tech, Miami at home, at Notre Dame, at NC State. Now, that's three of those four are road games. The only home game there is against Miami. If they win two out of those four games, Joe, I think they get over the 9.5.
Let's also keep in mind, here's another team I'm high on. I want to get your take. Wake Forest, right? Yeah. 17 starters back. Sam Hartman comes back. This was a game. 59-53. Yeah.
That was a crazy
that's
game.
That's not an again, it's at home. Right? But North Carolina was down 21-0 in the first quarter of that game. And they were battling back and forth. I mean, that game was one of the most electric college football games I've seen. I was doing in-game live. That total was like, it's 103 now. It's 108 now. They just could not stop anybody.
I don't think they're winning 10 games.
No, I don't. I'm not gonna
bet it, Joe. Because there's gonna be numbers and teams that I like more, but I don't think they're winning 10 games. Because like you just said, they played a couple of games last year that were crazy, that went either way. Whether it was the Virginia game a loss, the Wake Forest game a win, the Florida State game a loss, I just don't think they're good enough to definitely win these nine other games. I just...
I agree with you.
This is an under to me, Joe.
Yeah, I agree with you. And here's a game that stands out too, because we brought about Miami going on the road like in a cold weather environment, right?
Wow. Yeah.
North Carolina played in Pittsburgh a couple years ago when Sam Howell was a freshman. They now have to go to Heinz Field in November.
Yeah, that's a night game too.
That
Thursday night game,
tundra.
Joe.
The frozen tundra. With Pat Narduzzi and Kenny Pickett. I could just see that's a game like Pittsburgh would win, right? Pittsburgh
will
find a way to win that game.
Me and you earlier in the day, preview in North Carolina and Pitt on a Thursday with a night game.
Right.
That's going to be fun. We're going to have fun that
day.
We'll talk all about Sam Howell. I do have one there. It's funny because I'm getting the look-ahead lines ready that we're going to do, and I saw that Miami-North Carolina game pop up for me. On the list. That's Saturday, October 16th right now. The Tar Heels -3 against
Miami. I'm taking Miami right now. I'm taking Miami, bro, with the three. That line was Miami -3, and it got up to 3.5. I was on Sam Howell in North Carolina that day. 80% of the public was on the Canes that day. They got abused 62-26. I bring up that game because I've never seen running backs just wide open. 554 rushing yards in a game? Are you kidding me? And let's not forget, right? All right, Rousseau didn't play. Phillips was a number one draft pick. But that defensive front, you give up 554 yards? Are you kidding me?
It's crazy, Joe. It really is. It's absolutely crazy. And three, I'd probably take the Canes there too, getting the points, and we might even be able to get more as we get closer. All right, Joe. So I'm going under with UNC. I don't think I'm playing it, but that's where I lean. It sounds like you're with me on that.
I'm with you. I'm with you because everybody loves Mac Brown, right, Carver? You know they love him.
So tomorrow, Joe. We'll keep doing ACC. Tomorrow's three teams, so I'm giving you time to get ready here. NC State, Wake Forest, and Florida State. We'll do the win totals for those three ACC teams tomorrow.
I like two of those three. I'm chomping at the bit on two of those three totals there. I can tell you that right now.
I want to get through some more of these look-ahead lines for late September, early October. There's only one game that we didn't get to yet on Saturday, September 18th, that I still wanted to get your thoughts on, and it's a pick'em game. We love pick'em games, Joe.
Yeah, love them.
Cincinnati and Indiana. A very intriguing game, of course, with Tom Allen and Luke Fickell taking each other on. That game will be in Bloomington. A pick'em right now on most sites. How about that game?
That is interesting, right? And we talked about Cincinnati having not an easy schedule this year. They play Indiana. They also play Notre Dame. And I believe on FanDuel, last time I checked on that game, they're a 2.5-point favorite. I will say that I like Cincinnati more against Notre Dame, believe it or not, as a 2.5-point dog than I do against Indiana. I just think defensively, Indiana is going to keep Desmond Ridder in check in this ballgame. I like the weapons that Indiana has. Michael Penix, as long as he's healthy, is a much better quarterback than Desmond Ridder. They have Freifogel, the wide receiver, Peyton Hendershot, the tight end, Stephen Carr, the transfer from USC, involved in that offense in the short to intermediate passing game. The public, in my opinion, is going to be all over Cincinnati. It's a pick'em game, and Indiana's at home. I love Indiana in that matchup.
Now, since you brought it up, I'll just give you the line. Saturday, October 2nd, it's actually gone to 3.5. Cincinnati's getting 3.5 at South Bend against the Irish.
Now is it the week just before that they play, or they get a week off?
No.
Because I didn't look at that schedule.
I'd have to see if they're playing on the 25th. I'm not sure. But they play Indiana on the 18th in Bloomington.
Because that would be really good. That would be really good if they had a week off of preparation.
That
would be even better.
Let me get you the schedule here, and I will be able to do that.
Because that number doesn't seem right to me. That number under 3 that FanDuel set up as a 2.5.
They get a week off, Joe.
Yes.
So they play at Cincinnati.
So that's a game right now, Carver, we should be jumping on. Let's jump on the 3.5, and let's jump on the money line in that.
+135 money line for Cincinnati at South Bend. I mean, you obviously are going to go in on that. I will be.
I liked it at 2.5. I liked it at 2.5. But now 3.5 over the key number, and they have a week off for preparation. I like it.
That's a listen. Nice job by Cincinnati. That's two good. That's two very good out of conference games for them in a row.
Yes.
Early in the year, playing Indiana and playing Notre Dame. I'm gonna go now to the 25th, Week 4, Saturday, September 25th. Let me find you a couple good ones here from that Saturday. Let's stay with Notre Dame since you just brought him up. Notre Dame and Wisconsin are playing at Soldier Field in Chicago. Wisconsin minus 1.5.
Yeah, I don't
like
the
line right now. You don't like you don't like who? You don't like Notre Dame?
I don't like Wisconsin. I'm not a buyer of Wisconsin this year. Let's not forget this game got canceled. This game was supposed to be
a Lambeau.
Lambeau. Right. Now you get Jack Cohn, as long as he's healthy, going up against Graham Mertz, his former team. Right, so you would have to say, from a personnel perspective, he understands how that defense responds. Got to give the edge to Notre Dame. From an offense and defensive line perspective, I still give the edge to Notre Dame. Kyren Williams, Michael Mayer. Who's favorite in that game?
Wisconsin.
Oh, 1.5. I like Notre Dame.
As we're speaking, Joe, I'm putting in the Irish money line plus 105.
Yeah, I like that. You see, now that's a game where I could see. Now, is that because I'm thinking of the schedule? Is that the week? So Notre Dame plays Cincinnati the week before Wisconsin.
No, they play Wisconsin the week before Cincinnati. Then that's the week that Cincinnati's off.
So that's So that's even better.
So that actually plays even more into your Cincinnati bet.
Right.
There you go. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back, Joe, and wrap it up with the Week 1 line of the day. College football full circle rolls on right after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, it is time. Week 1, line of the day. And since I've already given you in the last 20 minutes, I feel like every Cincinnati Bearcat line in the first few weeks, I might as well give you their Week 1 line, too, as our Week 1 line of the day. Luke Fickell and the Cincinnati Bearcats open up at home against the Red Hawks, Miami of Ohio, in the MAC. They usually play every single year, right, Joe? Traditional rivalry here in the state of Ohio. 22.5.
Ooh.
The lumber to lay with Luke Fickell, Desmond Ridder, and the Bearcats against Miami of Ohio in Week 1. What do you like, Joe?
I know that there's a crazy stat in terms of the ATS perspective where I believe Cincinnati's beaten Miami of Ohio, if I'm not mistaken, something crazy like the last 8 games, 9 games. And this was a hot game like 3 years ago. But the line to me at 22.5 is indicative of taking Miami of Ohio. It's over the key number 21. It's over 22. And I just think a ton of money is going to flood in on Cincinnati. Give me the Red Hawks. Yeah. I like their offense, their balance, and they're a gutty defense. I'm going to take the wood there.
Yeah, you know what, Joe? I'm probably with you, to believe it or not. And you know what? I think that you just said it. There's going to be a lot of money probably pushing in on Cincinnati the week of that game. We might even be able to get a little bit better that week, Joe. We might be able to get 23. Maybe we'll get ourselves to 24. You never know what can happen the day or two before the game. But I'm with you. I'm leaning towards taking the sticks with Miami of Ohio right now if I had to do it.
Victory Bell. I'm looking now to see there's a crazy stat. They've won.
Joe.
2006.
No.
2005 was the last time Miami Yo beat them.
Joe, tremendous job today. We'll be back tomorrow. More ACC win totals. Great stuff from Joe Lisi. Our thanks to JP Fleming helping us out today, filling in for Andrew. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 2.